I can't remember if I've preached about Mary and Martha in this text here before, but I have preached about it over the years. And I've discovered that this little story can be quite controversial, particularly with the type A personalities out there, and particularly with women. And I think you might be able to see how that is. On the surface, this story seems to be Jesus rebuking Martha for the work she's doing. And of course, the type A response always is, but if Martha wasn't doing that work, it wouldn't get done. Which is very true. Which is why I don't think Jesus is rebuking Martha in this story because she is busy. I'll get to what I think Jesus is saying here. Hopefully that won't be quite as controversial for the type A personalities as it sometimes sounds. But first, let me note this about Mary and Martha. They live in Bethany, which is across the valley from Jerusalem. And what's interesting is this is the only story about Mary and Martha that occurs in the Synoptic Gospels, that is, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this story doesn't appear in Matthew and Mark. Mary and Martha don't appear in Matthew and Mark. They appear in this story in Luke's Gospel. And then there are some references in John's Gospel. It's John's Gospel that really introduces us to Mary and Martha. It's John who tells us they are the sisters of Lazarus, who is raised from the dead in John's Gospel. And it's John who also has a story. This is as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. According to John, he stops at Mary and Martha's house, and it's there that Mary is the woman who puts perfume on Jesus' feet, that nard, and dries his feet with her hair. I'll actually come back to that story in a minute. So in John's Gospel, we get the idea that Mary and Martha and Lazarus are sort of, that's where Jesus stops when he's in Bethany, that they're friends of Jesus, really. But we don't get any of that in the other Gospels. And the story today in Luke really makes it sound like Jesus just kind of stops in, that he hasn't met them before. Anyway, that's just background about Mary and Martha according to the Gospels. So Jesus stops in at Mary and Martha's house, and notice it's Martha who welcomes him, we're told. And of course, in the context of this day and age, that doesn't just mean she said hello as he walked through the door. It means there was probably some water so he could wash, and she would provide food and refreshment of some kind. And that's probably why we're told she's busy. She's getting food ready, or if they've already eaten the food, she's clearing up the dishes and in the kitchen, you know, cleaning things up, or maybe this is Jesus, and maybe she realizes the dog bowl is out in the middle of the room, you know, and she scoots that out of the way, or who knows. But she's making the house welcoming for Jesus. But as Jesus is sitting there, and Mary, her sister, is just sitting there with Jesus, and maybe you can start to picture this in your mind. I kind of picture Martha like washing the dishes in the kitchen, you know, and Jesus and Mary are there in the living room. And I imagine Martha kind of walking back and forth in front of the door, and you can sort of hear, why isn't she helping me? And I can't believe I'm in here doing this all by myself. And maybe some pots and things are banging together a little bit. And finally, she comes storming out and says, Jesus, doesn't it matter to you that I'm doing all the work? Where's the justice? My sister's just sitting there. And I'm sure none of you, especially the women in the audience, have ever had a situation when you felt like you were doing all the work at home. Right? So notice what Jesus says. This is really the crux of the story, is Jesus' response to her. He He says, Martha. Martha. Notice he has to almost get her attention. She's fuming so much. Martha. Hey, Martha, 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 Martha. You are worried and distracted by so many things. There is need of only one thing. So notice, first of all, he's not rebuking her for being busy. In fact, I'm not sure he's rebuking her at all. But he's reminding her of something. First of all, he's telling her, you're worried and distracted. And you don't have to be busy to be worried and distracted. She just happens to be. And he says, you're worried and distracted about many things. There's need of only one thing. So what's going on here? Well, I think first Jesus is maybe offering Martha a different perspective, or suggesting maybe she could be happier with a different perspective on things. She is doing good things. She's making Jesus welcome and preparing food, and that's all important. But like I said, I always envision that that's sort of over and now she's cleaning up things. And what Jesus is suggesting to her, I think, is, hey, I'm not always going to be sitting here in your living room. There'll always be dishes to wash or whatever it is she's doing. But I won't always be sitting in your living room. Now, this is interesting because it reminds me of the story I already mentioned from John's Gospel. John's account of Jesus stopping at Mary and Martha's on his way to Jerusalem. And in that story, Martha's the one who welcomes him. Mary, again, is the one who pours this expensive ointment out and dries his feet with her hair. And it's also the story in John's Gospel where Judas says, hey, you know that expensive perfume, all that could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And Jesus responds by saying, don't get mad at Mary. You will always have the poor with you. You won't always have me with you. You'll always have dirty dishes to wash, but you won't always have your Lord and Savior sitting in your living room. Perspective. What's important? What's necessary to be doing right now? If Jesus is in your living room, the dishes can probably wait. Or your taxes can wait. Or checking your phone can wait. Or whatever is distracting you or worrying you. If Jesus is sitting in your living room, go sit with Jesus. And so we also get to, I think, a message about attentiveness as well. Mary is there hanging on Jesus' every word. Mary somehow seems to know, both in Luke's Gospel and John's Gospel, that Jesus is not going to be around forever. She somehow knows what's coming for Jesus. And so she's taking advantage of this precious time to be with him. And that's where I want to bring in this psalm. It's a beautiful, simple little psalm about quieting our souls. It's really about being with God. I have quieted and calmed myself like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content to just be with God. Now, I have to admit, I mean, I'm a male. My experience with breastfeeding is limited. So this word weaned in this psalm, for many years I just totally missed it. I sort of assumed this psalm was about a child nursing in its mother's arms. And then finally one day I thought, I'm going to look up this word weaned. I mean, some of you don't need to look up the word. What does it mean to be weaned? Taken away. You're no longer nursing. You're being weaned away from mother's milk. And we talk, all animals, all mammals do this. There's a time where you're weaned. So this is a child that has been weaned. But back in mother's arms. Now, I suspect a child that has been weaned realizes to some degree. I mean, when you're nursing, you know mom's going to pick you up many, many times throughout the day and night for nursing. But if you've been weaned, you know that those times, that intimate time in mom's arms, is not guaranteed anymore. You've been weaned off it. And so I suspect this weaned child in the mother's arms realizes, hey, I'm not going to waste this time grumbling and crying. I'm going to enjoy this precious time in my mother's arms because I realize it doesn't happen as often as it did before I was weaned. Now you see how that might apply to Mary. She realizes this time with Jesus right there is precious and valuable and will not always happen. And so she's taking advantage of it, enjoying it, focusing on it. Martha's problem isn't that she's busy, it's that she's missing out on this great opportunity, which is Jesus sitting in her living room. I hope you have had moments in your life when you have felt God very close. But if you're like me, those moments, precious and valuable, are also fleeting. And we can't, I don't know, I can't make them happen. They just happen at times. In worship, in prayer, maybe out hiking, maybe with family, wherever you've experienced God in some very close, intimate way. But those moments, at least for me, are not a daily or weekly occurrence. So when they happen, we shouldn't pull out our phone and start checking our email or work on our taxes or wash the dishes, although there's a way to wash dishes meditatively. But the point is, don't get distracted from those moments by things that are going to be there later. Appreciate them. Enjoy them. Don't let them go. Be like Mary or like that weaned child. I'm here with Mom. I'm here with God. I'm here with Jesus. Quiet, attentive, joyful, rested, because I know these moments don't last, at least not in this life. Amen.